Hello and welcome to Greenwich Pantry. This is the Greenwich Pantry podcast, Life is for Cooking. Well, if you're where I am, it's pretty miserable and dark and wet outside. It looks like summer is coming to an end. And that's why on this episode, I want to talk about, well, I'm not going to talk about the weather. I want to talk about hunger. Yes, so hunger is one of those feelings that we have, and we need to understand what it's doing to us and understand how to manage it. So we need to decide, are we hungry, are we thirsty, or are we just bored? And I think in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how we go about deciphering what is what. Is hunger hunger, or is it really just another way that we trick ourselves into eating more of that piece of delicious cake? So let's have a think about what the triggers are that help us understand whether we are actually hungry or not. I like to think about internal triggers as those types of feelings that we have that's deep within us and makes us behave in a certain way. And there's generally four types of internal triggers that we need to consider whether we're an adult or a child. And one set surrounds hunger. So do we have a physiological need for food? Is that something that would drive us to want to eat a horse, for example? And I mean literally. And those are the types of triggers that, you know, have a certain sense of reality around them. So hunger is that physiological need that we have for food. And let's not confuse it with another set of triggers, which generally are called cravings. And so what is the difference between hunger and craving? Well, you might want to define it in lots of different ways, but it's generally known that craving is a desire to eat something when you're not really hungry. And that is the main reason most of us eat. You know, I could go through a 24-hour period having one craving in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. But essentially, I then end up eating all kinds of foods that I don't necessarily need. So I think for most of us, this is where we need to really watch it. And then, what about thoughts? I mean, that's also an internal trigger that we should think about. So the things that you think about exercise or food could make you act in a certain way. You know, you might have a real affinity for a particular kind of biscuit, and it might mean that when you see those biscuits or when you see that biscuit, you completely go crazy over them and you want to eat them all the time. So these are things that tend to kind of reside on the surface and also deep within, and they kind of collide together, if you like. And those thoughts sometimes are very difficult to control if we haven't learned how to control them. And then you've got the general feelings of boredom and stress and unhappiness and sometimes even fear that makes us want to eat more and blurs the line between hunger and actually wanting to eat enough for your general needs. So once you've had a think about what your triggers are, it's generally a good step in the right direction. And the reason I say that is because not knowing how to effectively deal with these internal
triggers can create a whole lot of confusion between whether you're actually hungry or you're eating just for the sake of it. And of course, as the winter months approach and as autumn fades into winter, the weather changes quite a lot, and that sometimes has an impact on how much exercising we want to do and how much we want to go out for a walk, and perhaps even how much we feel like doing anything at all. So understanding these internal triggers are really, really crucial, I would suggest. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about the kinds of behaviors that associated with certain types of triggers. So let's talk about hunger for a minute. So you feel hungry because you've identified a drop in your blood sugar levels. And the usual behavior could be that you come home or you go to the kitchen and then you pick up a packet of crisps or some biscuits or something like that if you're making your way home and it's a long journey. Or else you might, you know, be tempted to stop at the biggest junk food center that is in the area, or and you're just basically starving and just want to eat something. Well, one of the ways that we can deal with that is just the preparedness. So preparing yourself, not just meals but also snacks, because sometimes we push ourselves to eat big meals when we don't really need to, and snacking, healthy snacking, could just be what your body requires. And making healthy and unrefined snacks available readily in your packed lunch or in your kitchen, in your fridge, is one way of dealing with that. And then in terms of cravings, your child might have had lunch, for example, and I'm talking about children now because we forget that cravings can start at a very young age, and that could be due to a lot of things. So let's say a child has had lunch and they still want to eat something. How do we know that that's hunger, and how do we know that that's a craving? Remember that a craving is a desire to eat something when you're not hungry, and this is the main reason that most of us eat. But it could just be that the child is growing and they just haven't eaten enough for the day. Because don't forget that children go through a lot of growth spurts at different ages. And when they're going through these growth spurts, they are technically going to be consuming a lot more food. But let's say that that you're satisfied that they've had enough for lunch, but they're still craving something, and you've noticed that they're always asking for a big bar of chocolate, or they want some ice cream afterwards. It might be an idea to think about some strategies to support you and to support the child. So for example, instead of saying no, you can't have anything sweet, if they are craving something sweet, you could just maybe have some yogurt available that can be mixed with honey, or with some soft fruit, or I think that one of the most challenging trigger that we harbor is the thought life. And when we start to have negative thoughts, they can stop us from doing many, many things, including enjoying a healthy lifestyle. So, for example, you know, you may be a person who feels very shy in, say, wearing a swimming costume,
And you might be thinking, well, if I go to the pool, then people are going to look at me. Or you might be thinking, I'm not very good at sports and I will make loads of mistakes and I'm going to try and get out of it for one way or the other. And again, some people think that maybe if they're not eating the same things as their friends, no one will know. And they will go off and eat in secret. But essentially, the thoughts that we have can have an impact on what we end up eating. And in order to deal with those negative thoughts, sometimes we find ourselves having to eat more food, because they help us cope with those negative thoughts. And it's a kind of a cyclical thing, you know, you start off with one thought and then another negative thought comes in. And before you know it, you're looking for ways to deal with those thoughts. And I think we are not free from that. Adults aren't free from that. Children have that kind of negative thought pattern that sometimes creeps into the lifestyle. And all of these different kind of challenges are what we should be looking out for when thinking about whether we are hungry or whether we are just in a negative thought pattern. So the last area of internal triggers that we mentioned earlier was feelings, and many of us have over the years learned to make food our pacifier. Makes us feel better when we're bored or when we have strong unwanted feelings. And if you're in that cycle, if you're still in that train of thought, if you're still having that sort of way of eating, then my advice would be to think about what you can do to engage your mind, because when you think about it, it's just about making sure that you're not bored. When you're bored, you're going to eat more. And when you know you're going to eat more because you're bored, then ultimately finding something to engage your mind, some kind of hobby, or maybe calling up a friend and going out for a coffee with a friend might be the solution that would help you with the hunger challenges. But I hope that this has given you some nudges, and I hope that it's going to help you to discover what your internal trigger is and to really have a think about it, write it down, try and create some strategies to deal with that behavior pattern and make sure that you enjoy your autumn. So friends, thank you for listening to this episode of the Greenwich Pantry podcast, Life is for Cooking. Well, I am looking forward to our next, to the next time that I have a chat with you. And you know where we are. If you want to get in touch, we are on Life is for Cooking, which is the blog. We are on the Anchor podcast. You can leave a message or you can just send an email to info@greenwichpantry.com. And don't forget, if you enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe and please do tell your friends. share it with the whole world. Thank you so much. Bye for now.